Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, will you open it with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we'll begin in the 5th verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Looking at those two cans, I can't get Fruit Loops out of my mind. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and that you would touch our hearts, that you would move us, Father, to a life of faith. Lord, let this be a day of change, of transformation for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Father's Day, and we are thankful for fathers. A faithful father, a dedicated father should be somebody that their children listen to. One little boy listened to his dad a lot. He went to church and he said, "Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to make a lot of money." And the pastor said, "Well, that's really great. I'm glad to hear that." And he says, "Then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come back and I'm going to give a bunch of it to you." He said, "Oh, well, that's even better, and thank you so much. Where did you decide to do this?" "Well, listening to my dad. My dad said, 'You're the poorest preacher we've ever had.'" Well, it's good when people listen to their dads, and their dads are worth listening to. Faithful dads are what our world needs. You want to know what will change America? Faithful dads. We're thankful for moms. We're thankful for single moms. My goodness, trying to raise a child by yourself. What a difficult, difficult situation that is. And people do it very well. And we praise God for our single parents, moms or dads, that continually try to reach their children and draw them into the family of faith as they raise them to the Lord. Today we deal with a faithful father. His name was Enoch. In chapter 11, verse 5, we have the climax to his life story. This is the Academy Award for him, if you will. It is the highest award that anybody could get. It's God saying, "This is a special individual, a special person of faith." For in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have God's roll call of the Hall of Fame of Faith. Enoch's life is an example of what you can do as a father walking with God. Now, his life story comes to us in Genesis, the 5th chapter. Genesis, the 5th chapter, for the most part, is a very dark chapter. It's a chapter where there is a lot of death. In fact, you begin reading in Genesis 5:5, and you find there was an Adam, and you all know of Adam. And then it says, "And he died." And then there was Seth, and Seth lived. And then it says, "And he died." In fact, as you read through these verses of Scripture, you find 8 times those words, "And he died." So we got, "And he died, and 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 he died." It illustrates that God's word is true. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve they could eat of any tree that they wanted to except one, because in the day they ate of that tree, they would surely die. Death would come upon them. Well, what did the devil tell them? The devil said, "Well, you're not going to die." Well, you've seen Adam or Eve around lately? The truth of this chapter is the truth that God's word is true. God said they would die, and indeed they did. All through life, you're going to have to make decisions over God's truth and the devil's error. If you don't go with God's truth, if you don't go with God's word, everything else is the devil's error. You may say, no, I'm just going to do it my way. Well, if that's not God's way, guess what? It's the devil's error. We have a messed up America because we have a world that has decided to go toward the devil's error. That can't be us. We've got to wave the banner of God's word. We have to hold it up because it is truth, and it is where people will find hope and peace and will find help. And our world is in a great need for help. Every day you will make decisions. What will it be? God's truth, the devil's error. Every way through, every decision you need to take to God. In Genesis 5, we have an underscoring of the fact that God's word is always best. His word is always true. Now, faith is something you need to have. Faith is taking God at his word, regardless of circumstances, regardless of consequences. You need to do God's way no matter what the world says. Let me be honest. If you do things God's way, you're not going to be popular with everybody. If you do God's way, people are going to think you bigoted at times or think you ignorant at times. But the truth is, the smartest people on the planet do things God's way. Well, all the way down through Genesis 5, you have, and he died, and he died, and he died, until you get to verse 21 and things change. Verse 21 says this, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Enoch lived 65 years, and at 65 years of age, he became a daddy. And when he became a father, things changed. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah, after he became a father, 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch was 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Enoch is the exception to all the and he dieds. He's a and God took him. Hebrews 11 tells us because of Enoch's faith, he did not die. The Bible says he was translated. Two times in Genesis 5, we find that the secret to Enoch's life was that he walked with God. He sought to draw close to God. Hebrews 11 tells us that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Well, you know, I don't know about your life, but sometimes it's hard to please your spouse. Many times it's hard to please your children. But to walk and please God, that's on a whole different level. After Jesus, the Father, you know, after Jesus was baptized, the Father God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And now we find that in Enoch, God was well pleased. That means Enoch had some similarities to Jesus. He pleased God. Dads, the desire of your heart should be to please God. The desire and longing and how you set out your life should be to please God. In fact, you don't have to be a dad for that to be what you should want. That should be what we all want. He pleased God because he walked with God. And the fact that he walked with God carries us to the fact that Enoch had to walk in. There had to be a starting spot. Now, in the Christian life, we call this salvation. Have you had your starting spot with God? Have you walked into relationship with God? Enoch walked with God meant that there had to be a time when he started walking with God, and it indicates that there was a time that he did not walk with God. You can't walk with anybody without a starting place. Every long trip has to have a single step that starts you. We sent people to the moon at one time, and that moon race, that moon shot, started with one step. Every major thing in your life starts with one step. You may run a marathon, but if you're going to run a marathon, it's got to start with one step. And so there needs to be a time in your life when you decide right here and right now, I'm going to start walking with God. I'm going to take that first step. You got to have that starting space. Salvation is the beginning of a life walking with God. Now, the scripture tells us that this happened when he was 65. When we think of 65, we think of somebody that's pretty old. Well, let me rephrase that. Most of you think of somebody that's pretty old. Doesn't seem that bad to me. When you think of somebody that's 65, well, they're getting up there. But in Enoch's world, he was still a kid. He was still a relatively young man. He's going to live for 365 years. And so he's not even finished a third of his life. And so At the age of 65, something happens in his life that makes a change. He lived in a pagan culture. You know Cain. You remember Cain and Abel. Cain was the murderer. Cain started a Canaanite culture. That Canaanite culture was a culture away from God. We still have people today living in a Canaanite culture. Their culture got so bad that God decided he had to wash the world clean and start all over again. When I think of how God stepped in and God brought the flood in order to give a starting place for a new hope, I wonder how long could God wait in this world? In that corrupt culture, the Bible says this man Enoch had a saving experience with God. You might say, well, how do you know Enoch was saved? That's Old Testament. Because in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Enoch. Enoch was saved the same way anybody is saved, by grace through faith. Noah was saved that way. In Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you are saved, you are saved not because you did something good, not because you look good, not because you are spectacular. You are saved because you know that you're a sinner and you reached out to God to be a Savior and you trusted God. That's the only way anybody gets saved. I talk to people and they'll tell me, well, I haven't done anything that bad. Well, I don't know what you call that bad. One sin caused Jesus to have to leave heaven and die on a cross. And all of us have committed a sin because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you are going to be saved, you're going to be saved by trusting in Jesus. That is the only way anybody can ever be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says it's by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there was this point in his life. What caused the point? Well, you know, I have learned watching people, there are stages in life that causes differences in trajectory. There are points in life that are points of change. When you start to school, oh, that's a big deal. When you start to school is a time of changing, of evaluating. And we have many children that make a decision for Jesus at the age when they start to school. When you get to that time when you change schools, go to middle school, all those bigger people. You know, you go to middle school, it's a change time. It's a decision time. And so many people make a decision then. When you go to high school, well, that's a big time of change. And so that's a time when a lot of people make a decision for Jesus. When you start driving, when you start seeing how bad other people drive, That's a change time. And so people will make decisions at that time. When you graduate from high school, when you graduate from college, those are change moments. When you get married, that's a change moment. When you have a child, wow. Babies change everything. And hopefully somebody changes the babies. Dads are not normally the first in line. I don't know why. But many dads have stepped up, and I'm thankful that dads do that. As a dad, I did do that. No, I didn't do it as much as Becky, but I did do that. So Enoch woke up when he had a child, when he realized he was responsible for that baby. He realized that that baby's life was all on him. He had to make sure that baby knew God. That baby had a relationship with God. He was responsible for that. He was responsible for giving a good example to that child. Now, dads, if you've never thought about that, that is a scary place to be in life. It's a time to reach out to God. And that's exactly what Enoch did. He reached out to God. And reaching out to God, he was saved. Now the Bible says he walked with God, so he began walking with God. The Amos 2:2 says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" You can't walk closely together and have close fellowship unless you agree. So what this means is Enoch decided he was going to agree with God. And so God said, "Enoch, you're a sinner." And Enoch looked at his 65 years and he says, "Yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner." God said, "Enoch, one day I will send a Savior to die for your sins." And he said, "Yes, Lord, by faith I believe that you will send a Savior." "Enoch, you need to receive that Savior as your Lord." And he said, "Yes, Lord, I want to receive the Savior as my own Lord." And in doing so, Enoch was saved, and he started walking with God. Has there been a time? Do you know the time? Can you think of the time when you were saved, when you started walking with God? We need to get everybody we know to have that starting spot with God. You need to make sure that all your children have that starting spot with God. You need to make sure your grandchildren have a starting spot with God. You need to make sure that your friends and neighbors have a starting spot with God, and you can't do anything about them until you do something about you. So Enoch walked in. Have you walked in? All dads need to walk into a relationship with God, and everybody else does too. Then Enoch walked on. If walking in is salvation, walking on with God is sanctification. That means becoming more like God, getting your life in order, trying to build the life God wants you to have. Enoch kept walking with God. Listen, he didn't just come to God when he had a baby and then forgot God after that. Oh, you know, seems to me we've had some people come to God, come down an aisle, be baptized, be a part of the church for a while, and then poof, they're gone. We don't know whether they had a real decision or not. We just don't know. If you really come to God, there shouldn't be a poof, you're gone. There should be a faithfulness building in your life. There should be a determination to continue to walk with God, to continue to worship God. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but that you do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your Lord." You know what God wants from you? He wants you to walk with Him every day. Not now and then, every day. He wants you to make it part of your life. Whether you're a dad, whether you're a mom, whether you don't have any children at all. He wants you to walk with Him all the time. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be leading your life. Can you imagine Enoch? Enoch in his day. One day he has to go to the grocery store. He goes in the grocery store. He goes down to the petrified food section. And there in the petrified food section, he sees him. It's Adam. Yes, Adam was still alive when Enoch was alive. And so he sees Adam. He goes up and says, "Mr. Adam." "Yes." "Mr. Adam, what was it like when you walked with God in the garden before you had your problem?" And Adam looked up with a tear in his eye. He says, "Oh, it was wonderful. Everything was so peaceful. Eve and I got along so well. There was never a harsh word. And God was so loving and so caring. And best of all, I got to walk with God two times every day. Oh, Mr. Adam, that's what I want for my life. I just want to walk with God every day. I want my life to be God's Garden of Eden." Do you have a desire to walk with God? I know you want to get out of the hellfire. I know nobody wants to be post-toasties. I mean, nobody wants to be burned forever and ever and ever. Nobody wants that. But do you want to know God? Do you want to walk with God? Because you see, the best things about knowing God is not escaping hell. It's knowing God. He is the creator of all, and yet he cares about you. Getting to know him. Getting to love him and falling more and more in love with him day by day and serving him. If you walk with God, it doesn't mean you're going to never have a problem. In fact, you may have more. And when you have difficulties and they will come, you're going to be glad you've been walking with God. You're going to be glad you've been trusting God. You're going to be glad that God is a part of your life. There's something about a walk with God that is very special. It implies several things. To walk with God means that you have a devotion with God. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." A fellowship with God. Every day you got to get in step with God. Every day. Every day before your feet hit the floor, you need to get in step with God. You need to ask God to order your steps. And then you need to walk with him. You know, when we have small children and you're walking with children, you know, they have a hard time matching your pace. You know, and so you have to kind of slow down a little bit so that they can get in tune with you. But basically, you want them going where you're going. So you want them in your pace. God wants us on his pace. Going where he's going. Have a time of devotion. Have a time in your day when you think of God. Have a time in your day when you get the Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, you've got a phone. There's an app on your phone. You can pull the Bible into your phone. I still like these. I like a Bible I can hold in my hand. But there are times I read the Bible on my phone. And, you know, right now the Bible can be with you anywhere, and that's a good thing. But basically you need to get God's Word into your mind and heart and memorize it, and then it can be with you even if you don't have service. And that's a greater thing. And so spend some time in the Word. Listen, it doesn't have to be a long time, but it should be some time. How about a verse a day? That's not much. Just get a verse of God's Word and read it a day and think about it and try to understand what it means. Spend some time with God. For years I've told you, 7 up. Spend 7 minutes straight up with God. Divide it up any way you want to, but try 4 minutes reading God's Word and seeing what God has to say, and then spend 3 minutes praying to God about it. And so God talks to you through his Word. You talk to him in prayer. And then just continue to talk to God. Talk to him through your day. If you got a decision to make, take it to God first. If you got a critical matter, take it to God first. If you've got a joy, take it to God first. A devotion time with God is the secret to power walking with God. It will encourage you and it will help you. And when there is a disaster, God's right there. Elijah the prophet had two phrases that described his life. One is hide yourself and the other is show yourself. Before you show yourself to others, you need to hide yourself with God. You need to get God in you so that you can show others what God is like. Then to walk with God, we need a life of separation. There are some things you need to just separate from your life. You have to say no to some things if you're going to walk with God. Enoch lived in a wicked world, and for 300 years he walked with God. Enoch, why don't you go out drinking with the boys? No, thank you. I'm going to walk with God. Enoch, have a drag on this joint. No, thanks. I'm going to walk with God. You know, you don't have to be a jerk about it. You can just tell people that your choice for your life is that you're going to walk with God. And walking with God means there's some things that you just don't do. It means there should be some things that you do. Walking with God means you should separate yourself when worship time comes and you should be in worship. It shouldn't be hit or miss. It should be part of your dedication to God. And it should be how you live your life. You don't lose anything when you say, I'm going to walk with God. The only thing you could possibly lose is misery and heartache. Romans 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Separated, the word means off horizon. It means a new horizon. When you walk with Jesus, he raises your horizon. He raises your eyesight to see his way instead of the world's way. And not only is it a life of devotion, a life of separation, it's a life of proclamation. In Jude 14, the Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these things, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch preached. Now, he wasn't a preacher, but he preached. He was a sharer. He was evangelical. He told other people about God. He told people, what did he tell people? He told people the same thing as we should tell people. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. He didn't have the vision of everything we have. He didn't know about Jesus on the cross and Jesus in the tomb and Jesus rising from the grave. He just knew God was going to give him a Savior, and he took that Savior. He didn't know all the things we're blessed to know. On this side of Calvary, God has shown us far more, and we've got more to share. But it still goes back to the fact that Jesus is coming and people need to get ready. And so if you're going to be faithful to God, at some point you have to talk to others about God. Do you know what you get when you cross a Mormon and an atheist? Somebody that knocks on a door for no particular reason. We have a reason. We have a reason to knock on doors, to talk to people face to face, to tell our friends about a loving Heavenly Father and about a Savior who went to a cross for us, who died for us, who was buried for us, who rose again for us, and who is coming again. So Enoch walked in. That was his salvation. He walked on. That was sanctification. And Enoch walked up. That's glorification. All through this chapter in Genesis, you have the Anti-Dads, but you get to Enoch and you find, and he was not. Enoch was raptured. The Bible says God took him. He was there 1 minute, gone the next. He was there, just alive as he could be, and then he just wasn't there. He did not die. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death. He was not found because God translated him and that translation was a difference. And before the translation, the Bible says he had this testimony that he was at peace with God, that he pleased God. That word translation means transpose. In music, it's to take something from one key and put it in another key. God's put our lives in a higher key. He's taught us to live on a higher level. Now, it says Enoch was not found. That's really kind of an important phrase. You know how we know he was not found? Because somebody looked for him. He meant something to people. When you walk with God, you leave a trail of meaning something to people's lives, of trying to touch their lives, of trying to encourage their lives, of trying to lift up their lives, of being with them in difficult times, of encouraging them and rejoicing with them in positive times. And that's the life we should all have walking with Jesus. And so Enoch had that type of life, and he left that type of trail. And he was missed. You know, this old world doesn't know the value of a Christian life until that Christian's not around anymore and they miss them. Sometimes you don't know what somebody in your family means until they are not there anymore and there's a hole there and you miss them. Do you live with God enough to be missed? Are you faithful enough to the church to be missed? Are you faithful in giving enough that when you're not giving, it'll be missed? Are you faithful to telling people about Jesus enough that when you're not here to tell, that witness will be missed? In Acts, we find, and Stephen died, and devout men came and made great lamentation over him. That means Stephen lived such a life that he made a difference. My friend, with Jesus, you need to live a life like Jesus, and Jesus will make a difference in you and the lives of others. Now, what God did for Enoch is a picture of what God's going to do for everybody one day, all believers, that is. Enoch went to heaven without going through the door of death. The Bible says the Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we shall all meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. Enoch was raptured to show us how it was going to be done. One day, I believe Jesus is going to return. I know without a shadow of a doubt, his return is closer than it has ever been. When is it going to be? I hope that it's today. I look for his coming, and I want people to know he is coming because I want people to be ready, and I don't want anyone to miss it. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In Enoch, we have a dad, a man of faith. He walked with God. He left us a testimony of walking with God. He points to how we can live with faith. And that's your decision. You should make that decision to live with faith. But understand this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't put your faith in Jesus, you will not please God, and you will not be pleased with your life. Today is the day to come to Jesus. Today is the day to surrender your life to him. If you're a believer, today is the day to recommit yourself to walking with him, to ask God to make a difference in you and make it you so that you can make a difference in others. How did it work for Enoch? Enoch walked with God. He served God for 300 years. What kind of heritage did he leave? The Bible says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. Remember that? Enoch's son, Methuselah, never saw a day with his father around when his father was not walking with God. Oh my, what a life, what a heritage, what a testimony. Did it work? Enoch lived longer than any other person that ever lived, honoring his father because his father walked with God. Are you walking with God? Have you started? If you haven't started, start now. Come and say, I want Jesus. If you've started, it's time to walk on. Are there places in your life where you need to get back in step? Are there things you've not done that you should be doing? It's time to walk on. And understand, being faithful to the Lord, there'll come a day to walk up. I don't know how God's going to come. If Jesus comes in the air, I'm out of here. But you know, Jesus may just come for me in death, and I'm out of here. But when I'm out of here, I'm going up. Not because I deserve it, I don't. Not because I've earned it, I can't. Because I've trusted Jesus, and God's word is true. Would you trust Jesus? God's word is true. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for the testimony of Enoch. And I pray, Father, that you would use it now in our hearts. Father, for anyone in this room that hasn't started with you, that hasn't received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that this would be the moment, this would be the time, and they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just let them come and say, I want Jesus. Father, if they're online, give them the courage just to reach out to pick up a phone and call the church and leave a message or to send an email to let us know, and we'll get in touch with them and let them know what they need to have Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Father, let this be the day of walking in for many. And for believers, God, forgive us where we failed in our walk. And Father, let this be a day of change, a day of new commitment that we might walk on with you. And Father, I thank you that because your word is true, for all of us that know you, there will be a day that we walk up. And we'll be glorified with you, face to face with Christ our Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?